Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of July 11th, 2021. It's from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, and it's entitled, Following Jesus' Example. The call to worship is taken from Isaiah 6, verse 3, and Psalm 95, verse 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Amen. I don't need to tell you this, but our society is in crisis. There is a crisis of trust, resulting in immense frustration. There's lack of trust in political leaders, and this has trickled down to include a lack of trust for those who work for them, bureaucrats, law enforcement, even among those once viewed as highly trustworthy in science and medicine. People are looking for honest leaders with integrity who do what they promise for the good of those they serve, rather than serving themselves. However, there is something else that is happening among us. It has always been present, but now it is on a scale rarely seen so broadly within a society. I'm speaking about individualism, Popeye the Sailor Man's I am what I am, is now on steroids, becoming no one can tell me what I can or can't do or be or say. I will do whatever I feel like. Do you see the potential for problems within these two main forces? In 2012, the Josephson Institute conducted a survey of American high school students. 99% agreed with the statement, it's important for me to be a person with good character. 98% agreed with the statement, in personal relationships, trust and honesty are essential. And 95% agreed that trust and honesty are essential in business and the workplace. These are encouraging results. Young people who believe in integrity. However, like their society, what they believe is not always demonstrated in what they do. Here are some more questions they were asked. 36% agreed with the statement, a person has to lie or cheat sometimes in order to succeed. 57% of the students agreed with the statement, in the real world, successful people do what they have to win, even if others consider it cheating. 51% of the students admitted to cheating during a test at school. 75% of the students admitted to copying another's homework. 76% of the students admitted they have lied to a parent about something significant. And yet, 93% agreed with the statement, I'm satisfied with my own ethics and character. These young people are reflecting their society. We agree that trust and honesty are essential, individually and corporately. However, we bend the rules when it suits us. It appears that we are truly more concerned about feeling good than being good. The idea, do as I say, not as I do, has existed throughout humanity's history. Jesus Christ lived by the motto, do as I say, and do as I do. We have a peculiar example of this in John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. This was a servant's job. And then he says in verse 15, I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Here is John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17 from the NIV translation. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not understand now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part of me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one of them was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Jesus gave his disciples an example to follow. That these words were preserved means they are also for us. Why did Jesus wash his disciples' feet? We're going to look at three reasons. First of all, to display his love. John begins chapter 13 by explaining Jesus' intention to demonstrate the depth of his love for his disciples. Love does not count the costs or care what others think. It takes the needed action, even at the risk of rejection. Love is a key theme during Jesus' final hours with his disciples. In chapters 13 to 17, the word love is used 37 times, as compared to only 12 times in chapters 2 to 12. Jesus loved each of his disciples, even Judas, whose feet he also washed. And he loves you, and he loves me. That's what John 3:16 says, that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. The second reason that Jesus washes his disciples' feet is to model humility. To model humility. Now, foot washing was a necessary job in the first century, and for guests, this was done by the lowest ranking servant in the household. A wife would wash her husband's feet. Children would wash their parents' feet, and students would wash their teachers' feet. That was the way it was. What Jesus did during the meal would have stunned his disciples. Not only did Jesus wash his disciples' feet, but he first removed his outer garments. Now, some commentators feel that Jesus stripped down to his loincloth before he wrapped a towel around his waist. Now, this was just the way the lowliest of servants would have come to wash their feet. So Jesus was demonstrating in his appearance as well as his actions the attitude of a servant. The disciples, with the exception of Peter, were silent as Jesus went to each one and washed their feet, likely wondering if they were going to get an explanation for this odd behavior. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 24 to 30, gives us some insight into the mindset of the disciples, even that evening. It tells us that they were arguing over who was the greatest. Maybe they were trying to figure out who would get to sit next to Jesus. Luke records Jesus telling them, "His kingdom requires servant leaders." John 13 shows us that Jesus actually became their servant. In verses 15 to 17, Jesus says, "I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their masters, nor is a messenger more important than the one who sent the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Jesus models the humility that he wants his disciples to have. Jesus' washing of his disciples' feet demonstrated his love for them, and he also modeled the humility that he desired them to have towards one another. Instead of trying to figure out who was more important, Jesus said, "Do that through your service." Now there's one other thing. Yes, to display his love. Second, to model humility. But also, this action pictured his entire mission. It represents his entire mission. Verse 1 of chapter 13 says, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." John chapter 13, verse 1 does not just introduce the foot washing scene. It also serves as an introduction to the remainder of this gospel. Verses 1 to 3 states that Jesus knew his death was imminent, but it also reminds us of Jesus' roots. He has come from the Father. He is under the Father's authority, and he knows that he is going to return to the Father having completed his mission. The phrase, "he loved them to the end," or as the NLT notes suggest, you could also translate it, "he showed them the full extent of his love," holds more meaning than we might realize. The Greek word translated "to the end" can also be translated "to the very finish," and this is used in its verb form as Jesus' last words from the cross, "it is finished," recorded in John 19:30. Dale Bruner, in his commentary on John, translates this phrase as, "he loved them right up to the very finish perfectly." Jesus willingly laid down his life on the cross to finish the work of salvation required to offer humanity forgiveness from sin. So these first three verses in John chapter 13 are not just introducing the foot washing scene, but they're introducing the remainder of the gospel, where Jesus is sharing in these final hours with his disciples, but also what he did for all of us on the cross to show us the extent of his love. Verses 1 to 3 tell us that Jesus, knowing all this, got up, stripped down, and then washed his disciples' feet in an act that was clearly beneath him, even from a human perspective. The disciples do not understand why Jesus is doing this. He's modeling his whole ministry. Jesus explains in verses 12 to 17 that his kingdom requires servant leadership, and he sets the example. Yet Jesus' words to Peter in verse 7 hints that time will reveal even more. He said, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." After Jesus' resurrection, his disciples came to realize the foot washing was a parable, a picture of what Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, did for humanity. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, calls for Christians to demonstrate humility towards one another with the same attitude as we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verses 6 to 11, he describes how Jesus stripped off his heavenly glory and became as a servant. And as a human being, he humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. This humble obedience to his Father resulted in his glorification, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Have you been moved by Jesus' love? Have you accepted his love and forgiveness? Have you been challenged to uproot your self-centered focus by Jesus' humble obedience to his Father? Are you willing to commit your life to Jesus and his mission, displaying his love through your life, modeling humility and following his mission to reach this world? You cannot live this way in your own strength. Ask Jesus for the strength. Submit to his leadership in all areas of your life and live as a person of integrity, loving God and loving others as you love yourself. How can you do this? Spend time with the Lord. Begin in your own home. Practice in your church. Ask the Lord to give you strength in your workplace, in your neighborhood, to become a person of integrity, a person of empathy and love for those around you, as our Lord Jesus gave himself in love while we were yet sinners. Lord, thank you. Lord, help us. We need your help. And thank you that you offer it. Amen. Let me close with the benediction from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 from the NIV translation. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.